The Dice Man Cometh!
Hello and welcome to this special episode of The Dice Men Cometh, or The Dice Men Playeth, if you will. In this episode, myself and Garth and Mark will be playing the first case of Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective. I heard about this game a few years ago from the Shut Up and Sit Down guys. They did a very interesting and passionate review for it. So if you wanted to know a bit more about this game, I highly suggest checking that out. And also, if you did have any interest in this game whatsoever, you probably might not necessarily want to listen to this because you don't want it spoiled for you. I've played this case before, so I will take on the job of the storyteller today, and Mark and Garth will take on the jobs of Sherlock's irregulars, the gumshoes trying to solve the case. Before we get into the episode, a few little warnings beforehand, just to let you know. The first one is that this is my first attempt at recording and editing by myself, so it might not be the best in the world, but I think I've tightened it up a little bit, so bear with me and hopefully it's alright. And secondly, you can probably still tell from my voice right now, I'm suffering from a bit of the holiday lurgy at the moment, so my voice is a bit all over the shop, and I apologise for that. But hopefully you enjoy it, and if you do enjoy it, please let us know. We will be looking forward to doing things like this more, and the more feedback we get from you guys, the better. So, here you go. Enjoy Case 1, The Munitions Magnate.
So at the end of it, when you guys decide that we think we know what the story is, I will go to the end and ask you some questions. There will be a few mandatory questions.
You get points, don't you, based on...
Yes. You get points based off if you got it correct, obviously. There's a few mandatory questions. There's a few side mission questions, which help or hurt. But what you're trying to do is you're trying to solve the case using the same type of leads that Sherlock used.
Yeah.
And the more locations you go to over the amount he went to, you lose points for. But if you answer questions correctly, you give yourself that leeway of figuring out a few things.
Okay. And we should be deducting.
Yes.
Deducting.
That's
deducting, good stuff. Deducting.
And as I said to Garth earlier, the way this is written,
be deducting to deducting.
The way this is written in a more old timey speech is not the easiest thing to read, but I will try my damnedest.
I'm going to be redacting.
All right. So case one, the munitions magnate.
Da-da-da.
The 12th of March, 1888.
Okay.
Despite the lateness of winter, March is still roaring like a lion. In fact, just as we align from the cab in front of 221B Baker, a derby hat skitters by, propelled by the fierce wind.
March is spring, isn't it? Because we're the Northern Hemisphere.
Sure.
Yes.
In close pursuit is none other than Wiggins, captain of the Baker Street Irregulars, and after, Dr. Watson, Sherlock Holmes' most able assistant. Before we can join in the chase, Wiggins manages to halt the flying bit of finery with a death stroke of his umbrella. Cramming it squarely on his head, he saunters back towards us. "Hello," he says cheeringly. "It would appear that Mr. Holmes is summoning all the troops. Shall we?" With the point of his umbrella, a very versatile tool it appears, Wiggins stabs the doorbell. It is several moments before Miss Hudson answers. After a brief exchange of greetings and pleasantries, she sends us on our way to Holmes' apartment. Above, we find Holmes and Dr. Watson sitting at a table engaged in an earnest conversation with a gentleman in his late 40s, expensively dressed, yet somewhat rumpled in appearance. "Warm yourself," says Holmes, "and I will explain my reason for calling you out on such a bitter morning." Coats and hats are immediately shed. There is a distinct pop as Wiggins removes his derby, and a rush is made for the fireplace. In due course, introductions are made, and the gentleman is identified as Mr. Richard Allen, brother of the late Courtney Allen.
Dickie Allen.
President of the Grant Arms Company. "It is the recent death of Mr. Allen's late brother," says Holmes, "that occasioned he visits to us. Courtney Allen was found shot to death in an alley behind his office on the evening of March the 9th, so 3 days ago, at approximately 7 p.m. He was found by constables on patrol. Scotland Yard has put the crime down as a simple robbery by person or persons unknown, largely due to the fact that the victim's wallet was found empty near the body and his gold pocket watch was missing. Mr. Allen was telling us a bit about his brother when you arrived. Please continue, Mr. Allen." "Well, Courtney was a dynamic individual, always busy, forever on the move. Yet he had the unique ability to spend 10 minutes with you and make it seem like hours. So complete was his attention to you. Of course, this charm worked like magic potion on the ladies. You said he was married, asked Watson with a raised eyebrow. Oh yes, poor Beatrice. Was he involved in a affair at the time of his death, asked Wiggins. Yes, I believe he was, but I have no clue as to who the lady might have been. You see, the night before he was killed, I popped round to his office at about 5:30 and managed to coax him to supper at Keane's. We were there but a short while when Courtney begged leave. He indicated that he had an important meeting. There's a word, there's German here. It's oft Weindersmen. And winked, and that winked meant a woman. I guess that's what
he called it.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Oh, really?
As in, goodbye.
As in,
I know what time. It is. It's just, it's squiggly wriggly writing.
That's squiggly wiggly.
I believe is the technical term.
Yes.
Is the company financially sound? Asked Watson. Oh, quite. A fine investment for anyone's portfolio. You see, the company was founded as a small gun shop some 70-odd years ago by our great uncle, Thaddeus Grant. It catered to a very elite clientele. Most of the chaps in the regiment were equipped with pistols from Grant's.
The regiment?
Nods Watson. Why, Braxton. You've heard me speak of Braxton Holmes. He had a pair of the finest dueling pistols.
Is that Tony?
Possibly. Yes, Watson. Pray continue, Mr. Allen. Courtney, always fascinated by firearms, apprenticed himself to Uncle Thaddeus. When Thaddeus died in 1873, he bequeathed the business to Courtney. While maintaining the original shop and its traditions, Courtney expanded into international arms trade with loans and sale of public stock. Similar to public stock. He was able to build a plant at 12 Derville Street.
Hang on, I haven't got a street directory.
From the manufacturer of heavy ordnance. Today, the firm is debt-free and very profitable. Of course, a drop in the share price occurred when the news of my brother's death was announced. Who was assigned to be the president? Asked Watson. Courtney's picked successor, Philip Marlowe, the second vice president. And why not the senior vice president? Young Lord Raglan, who runs the Derville Street plant, is a brilliant technician, but a most inept businessman. Who inherited your brother's stock? His wife, Beatrice. Now I think we might examine the effects found with your brother. So saying, Holmes, turning his attention to a briefcase and a large brown envelope. It looks as if some sharp object was used on it, commented Watson, referring to a large gouge on the leather of the briefcase. Yes, and it's practically brand new. I gave it to Courtney for his last birthday on January the 6th.
Does it resemble the mark made by a pirate's hook?
And that is that case solved. Thank you for listening to... No, there's more. Yeah,
the case of Jack Sparrow.
It is locked. The police found it that way. Courtney kept the key on a chain attached to his watch fob. The watch, of course, was stolen. Holmes retrieved a large piece of wire from the coal scuttle. After gaining Alan's...
He's going to pick the lock, of course.
After gaining Alan's permission, he inserted it in the lock and with a quick flick of his wrist, sprung the lock open. He pulled out two folders for our examination. Each is filled with company papers and is coded to indicate its contents. One marked MBC, for instance, concerns various coal mine leases. Another, marked S87U, contains a listing of sales to the US government during the preceding year. Holmes then emptied the content of the envelope on the table. Hmm. The inventory includes a ruby ring, a gold wedding band, a keychain with keys, an empty wallet, a small notebook, and a note.
Are you writing these down, Garth?
Yep. You don't have to write down all of them because some of them are here.
Oh, good.
So there is a small diary here with some more squiggly wriggly writing.
Mm-hmm.
There is also a receipt here for Clark and Sons Hatters in Chelsea for one Victorian hat for £10. And there is also another little note here which says something. Tonight, 10 p.m., and then the initials, we assume A and H.
A-M or A-H?
Yep.
Does that name correspond to anything? It says Spaniard.
On the notebook, Holmes observed, can you tell us who Captain Egan might be, Mr. Allen? I've never heard the name. And Billy? Billy is Courtney's secretary, William Lionheart. Holmes compares the writing in the notebook with that of the note. They appear to be identical. He nods and says, I believe we have enough to begin our investigation. After Alan has gone, Wiggins comments, easy to imagine that he has no trouble making his wishes known on the floor of the London Stock Exchange. I don't recall Alan giving out his occupation, says Watson, puzzled. No, replies Wigan, but certain phrases he spoke, coupled with the penciled notations on his left shirt cuff, stock prices surely led me to the conclusion that he was a stockbroker.
Mm.
Bravo, Wiggins. Well, Watson, our young man has come a long way since the day you described him as a dirty little street urchin. Thank you, Mr. Holmes, but after all, I was taught by the master. True, says Holmes, matter-of-factly. Quite true. What a prick.
That was my added content.
Right.
So, labour text.
So we have been sent on our mission. What would you like to do, lads?
So, question. This is obviously a map.
Tis.
Is there a directory of streets as such? I'm just wondering where there was that. There was the murder location. Was that given in the alley behind the factory? Was it?
No. Well, all the street names are just written there, so you just got to kind of find them.
Okay. Was it like Devonish Street or something?
No, Devil's Street was where the factory was.
Well, put it this way: you can tell me. Yeah, you can find it in there. Once you find the name of where you want to go.
That's why I was looking for DeVille Street, but no, the streets aren't listed. But what I did find was...
But that was... You were looking for the factory.
Yeah, Grant Arms Co. is here.
Yeah.
Now, there's no mention of DeVille Street, although that street there may not... It's Rivington there, but it may not necessarily go around there. So that could be DeVille Street there. But that's the Grant Arms Co.
Mm-hmm. So that would be EC5? Is that what you're getting at?
Yep.
Well, you've got to tell me where you would like to go.
I know, but obviously I would think the first place we would want to go would be the murder scene.
Yes.
Did it actually, it said about the alley, but is it the alley behind, you might have to read that first bit again. Are we allowed to do that?
Yeah.
Or should we have memorised it?
No, it's fine. But Grant's and
Noah. It was right at the beginning.
Thaddeus, no, yes, it was in here somewhere. Oh, yes, poor Beatrice.
He was shot to death on the 9th of March in his office. Yeah, in his office at 7 p.m, so it must have been at the factory.
He was shot to death in an alley behind his office
on
the evening of the march. So he was...
But is his office at the factory?
I would assume so.
You'd think so.
But let's think like Holmes. Maybe we should just go there.
You want to go
to... We want to go to 55, don't we?
The London University College.
On Gower Street.
Well, so here's what I'm thinking, without wanting to be an alpha gamer. So
this game is exactly about alpha gamer.
Yeah, yeah. So there's obviously a mention about stockbroking.
Yes.
I imagine we'd want to visit that person's firm and find out whether, like, they've maybe lost a lot of money recently or in trouble at work or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking the murder scene and obviously the factory.
Yep.
I'm thinking the home to question the widow, particularly around the... affairs of the heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, he was the person having affairs.
Well, that's right. So a jealous
mistress. Person. Oh, you mean the wife is and she was inheriting his stock.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's obviously the cryptic note about the Spaniard.
Where's Keynes?
Keynes, is that a person or a place?
That's a place.
What sort of place?
A place he went to at 5:30 p.m. the day before his death.
Would that be
a
Keynes Chop House?
Well, is there any other Keynes?
There's a whole...
I would assume it's a restaurant.
I don't know if it comes under K. Let's have a look.
K-E-E-N-S.
Like the mustard. Keynes Chop House. Yeah, Keane and Ashwell. No, Keynes Chop House is the only one. Mm.
So he was there at 5:30 p.m.
The night
he died.
Which is... 37WC water closet.
See, I told you we should go there.
So that's there.
Well, I was almost right.
So that's there. That's the factory.
Mm-hmm.
What time was the... We don't know.
He was killed in the alley behind his office at 7 p.m.
And this was 5:30. Oh, it's not.
He was found shot dead
like this
on March 9th. He was found at 7 p.m.
At 7 p.m., sorry.
Yes.
And he was at Keynes at 5:30 p.m., The day of or the day before his death?
I'm trying to find it because I can't remember off the top of my head either. Because it said, yeah, I went to visit him. Oh, yep, we were out.
Well, clearly we need to go to one of those places. Should we go to the murder scene and work back?
That just seems too obvious.
But surely the first thing Holmes would
do... Don't call me Shirley.
The night before he was killed.
The night before he was killed.
They went to Keynes together.
So that might be of interest to see who he was there with and what was discussed.
Mm-hmm.
As if clearly Holmes would go to the murder scene first because he would obviously find some evidence that the police had missed because they're incompetent.
Okay.
But we're not Holmes. We're his irregulars. We're trying to beat Sherlock Holmes to find the answer here.
Well, let's get there before him then.
Okay. So you want to go to the factory.
What do you think, Garth?
It seems like a logical place to start, which is why it's wrong.
Don't go overthinking it too much.
That's right.
All right, let's start at the scene of the crime.
Make a mark, the location and where we're going.
So we're following up on
the first lead. So first lead and where we're going.
Okay,
we're going to
EC5,
the factory. EC5. It is in the book, Jen.
Oh, wow,
that's a good bit of thunk, and it is a big old chunk of change.
There you go.
So yeah, more reading for Leon.
Okay,
so if you haven't turned off by now, I'm about to read a lot more.
But do you words good or numbers good?
Neither. I think by now we've decided that I neither. By pre-arrangement, we met Constable Bedell, I'm guessing, behind the Grand Arms Company in the alley parallel to Leonard Street. I noticed...
Leonard Street?
Sure.
Hey, it's his name. You can say it however you like.
The writing squiggly wiggly. I'm not going to say it again. I noticed a strange lump up the alley. I knew right off that something was amiss. My instinct for the out of place, you might say.
Oh, come on, if ever anyone was a Jason, it was going to be Constable.
Watch your step there. The cobbling whereabouts is in a bad way. Hereabouts, sorry, it's in a bad way. Many a jagged edge just made for tripping a man. We have strolled 30 feet or so from the base of a stairway that leads to the office of the Grand Arms to arrive at the juncture of a T formed with another alley that leads to Old Street.
Yep. Yeah.
It was right here, and sad to say, it was not a lump at all. Now, this victim was lying on his back, the force of the bullet having thrown him backwards.
Wow, so the big gun.
Yep. Well done.
Well, that could be important.
That he was murdered with a gun, I'd say.
No, a big gun.
A big gun.
It would have made a big bang.
The briefcase was lying right beside...
Big bang theory.
That's your one and only mention of that. The briefcase was lying right beside the body, waist high. The wallet was lying a few feet away. The victim's overcoat was thrown open and his pocket watch was missing. But part of the chain was still attached to the vest. He was quite dead, but there was still some warmth in his bare hands, so it couldn't have I couldn't have missed the blyer by much. Now, I figure the perpetrator must have hid in that shed just up this second alley.
What was the lividity? That's what they say in those crime programs.
It was lupus.
Anywho, when the victim...
It's the temperature of the liver they use it to tell time of death.
I was just mixing in a bit of house.
No, okay.
When the victim approached, he jumped out and fired point blank. As you can see, it's but 5 feet from the shed to where the body lay. We thank Constable Bedell for his time and trouble. He goes back on patrol, but we linger a moment longer at the scene. From the shed, Wigan calls to us. Seeing both Scotland Yard and our perpetrator have been quite careless. His open palm reveals the remains of a cigarette. On it are the letters B and H in gold leaf.
Wow, who's ever heard of a cigarette B and H?
The tip end is pinched evenly all around. Beaming, Wigan suggests that we adjourn to the office of the Grant Arms Company to interview Allen's private secretary. Allen's? What his name was...
Richard Allen.
And Courtney Allen.
He's the stockbroker in the expensive dress.
And yes. Courtney Allen was the...
Like I said, their last name is Allen.
He's Courtney Allen. Allen.
Internet meme.
Our unorthodox means of entry via the back stairs...
Unorthodox memes?
That was very unorthodox. This is going to take a long time. Startled a young man.
Comedy gold.
Startled a young man we met in the corridor. Fair-haired and pleasant-featured, he turned out to be William Lionheart.
Oh, Billy!
After introductions are made, we are seated in Lionheart's office. Wiggins asked him a question that he has been nagging at all of us since the beginning. What was Mr. Allen doing in that alley? Anytime he worked after hours, which was often, he would leave by the back alley. It was a short walk to Old Street where the traffic was heavier and cabs more likely to be hailed. So anyone who had a passing knowledge of Mr. Allen's habits, company employees or even business associates, would certainly have been aware of that practice. Yes, that's so. That evening, Mr. Allen was scheduled to meet with Captain Egan at 8:30. Can you tell us who Captain Egan is?
Oh, that's good.
He is the ordnance officer in charge of purchasing for the Admiralty.
Hold on, I'm going to write that down. Captain Egan, so he was the...
In charge of purchasing for the Admiralty.
Okay.
Duh. Do you know what the meeting was about? He and Mr. Allen met often to discuss the special project undertaken for the Admiralty some months ago, but I was unaware of that particular meeting. Mr. Allen regularly delivered progress reports, but always during the day. I always made the appointments. I remember that Mr. Allen asked me to put the SP10 folder into his briefcase.
The note.
The note?
The note. SP10 was on the note.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, yes, SP10.
Yep.
But he said put the folder in the briefcase. There was no SP10 folder in the briefcase.
There you go. So it's potentially
there was
gone.
A note there, but the folder was not there. I should be quiet. A folder in the briefcase. It surprised me because I was not aware of an appointment with Captain Egan. Could you tell us about this special project? It is very secret, but I suppose I can say that it involves development of a new type of naval gun. Were there problems with the project? None that I'm aware of. Mr. Allen was very concerned about security, though. While we do sell arms to foreign powers, there are certain weapons that are reserved exclusively for our own government. Special Project 10A was such a one. Was Mr. Allen's concern over security based on specific incidents or centred on a specific person? The existence of the project was common knowledge, so I'm sure he expected a certain amount of, well, spying. He called in Lord Raglan to discuss the matter after several strange people were seen hanging around the Derville Street plant. Why would the plant be under surveillance? All the technical data, blueprints, formulas, that type of thing, are housed there. Our offices here are entirely administrative. Mr. Allen's brother believes that he was having an affair at the time of his death. Realising that it is a delicate matter, would you know who the lady might have been? No, I don't. Over the years, I have always known about Mr. Allen's
peccadillos.
There you go. I've always known about Mr. Allen's armadillos, but only in the most general way. We would be working and sometimes would trigger a cryptic remark that would obviously have to do with his personal life. For example, just after the International Arms Fair opened, he received a scented letter on pink stationery.
I just noticed in here a reference to an Alexei Meshkov, a Russian military attaché. Being struck in the head by a tomato.
A tomato.
AM, the initials AM.
Ooh.
Which are also on the note.
They are, aren't they?
Later that day, he was dictating a memo to Lord Raglan when he stopped and picked it up. He took a full whiff of the scented letter and said aloud, "Women often marry for a title, but they won't necessarily fall in love for one." Then he laughed and went on with the memo and said, "I'll give her a good seeing to." I may have added that bit myself.
But hang on, so that could potentially imply that the woman was married to someone with a title, a baron or a count, yes, or someone like
it
that.
It could mean that.
You're now secretary of the new president, Mr. Marlowe. Yes, he was Mr. Allen's hand-picked successor, which perfectly illustrates the kind of man Mr. Allen was. There was no love lost between them. And yet, recognising Marlowe's outstanding business acumen, he named him as his heir, so to speak. Thank you, Mr. Lionheart. You have been very helpful.
I will also point out in this article about the arms trade fair, which is quite timely, it does also mention a Hector de Guerra. Quite funny, because Guerra means war. He's a military attaché to the Spanish embassy. So,
and there's Spaniard written on there.
An AM. That could all be linked. So this could be a backroom arms deal.
Well, he did like going in the back alley.
Selling guns that they're not supposed to sell to foreign powers.
Okay.
Maybe MI6 took him out.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was selling things he shouldn't. MI6 around then.
Almost like some sort of mystery, isn't
Spooks,
it?
Yeah.
Wow, hey.
Right.
What would you like to do, gentlemen? Well,
I think we've got a couple of leads there, haven't we?
Have we ever?
Now, question.
Yep.
Because I'm not a smoker. But I'm wondering whether they talk about a cigarette that's pinched all the way round would imply to me that it was in a cigarette holder.
Well, it said the tip end. So is the tip end the end that you hold?
I'm not sure, because I initially thought, oh, that must be like the tip, but the tip is a bit the burn, so it can't be that. So I'd say...
It wouldn't be pressed all the way around if it was the...
Yeah, so I'm guessing that means it was maybe a cigarette holder.
Which probably implies it was a female smoking.
Well, not necessarily, because...
it was in his hand,
you know,
it?
Aristocrats could use a cigarette holder.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps even foreign aristocrats.
Oh.
Because we all know those foreigners. They don't do things like we do.
No, they don't.
Those damn immigrants.
So, I'm thinking there's two lines of inquiry here.
Yep.
There's obviously the arms line, and these guys, Meshkov, the Spaniard,
Hector.
Then there's the affair line.
I love affair side, yeah.
There's also, I should be quiet, but I will also say, his brother was a stockbroker.
Yes. And then there's his brother and
his wife, obviously, you said with the affair.
Yes.
There was a guy who is now the president of a big successful company.
Philip Marlowe.
Who, as they said, there was no love
friends,
lost between
them.
Yeah.
And there was also
there's
a guy who ran the factory who was the first vice president, who was
Lord Raglan.
For promotion. Who's obviously the hard working man there.
Did you say Lord Raglan?
Lord Raglan.
Who has a title.
He does have a title, but he was rather an inept businessman, which is why he was passed over for...
But very good at running the factory, so he does the hard yards, but it doesn't get promotion. I think we can all
relate to that.
Indeedy-doo-doo. I don't know.
Where would you like to go?
Well, the evidence that was found at the scene of the crime was the cigarette, wasn't it?
Yes.
Which potentially that is indicating who shot him. There's nothing to indicate who might smoke. However...
What does the SP10 note say? Because that was also found from this line of inquiry.
Yes.
The SP10. SP10 is the Spaniard. 10 PM.
AH.
Now...
AM.
I will also point out that there happens to be a reference in this book here.
Yeah.
For the Benson and Hedges Company.
Oh, is that what B&H stands for?
Mm.
Even as a non-smoker, I'm aware of that.
So as... If a well-to-do person in these days would maybe would... Because it had a gold trim on it or something, didn't it? The cigarette? Mm. So maybe this person would buy... The company would know someone who smokes their cigarettes in a holder and is a crazy foreigner.
I was just laughing about you talking about somebody being well-to-do while you were daintily holding a glass of wine.
His little pinky was out.
Yes.
Yes.
People of my standard.
Yeah.
The other thing that popped into my head is we were given the reference of the restaurant, or it was the night before.
Keane's.
Yes.
Yep.
Clearly for a reason.
No. Don't try and think like that.
No, but he was there the night before.
He was. And we don't know who...
A bit of wheeling and dealing, and I'm thinking maybe someone may have seen who he was with and maybe seen whether they...
Yes.
Smoked cigarettes.
Because we don't know who is
with. Cigarette holder.
So,
I don't know, is that too obvious a clue, do you think?
From my years being...
A detective.
The most obvious clues are generally the clearest to see.
Yes.
And this is case one out of ten.
Yes.
This should be the easiest one. Is that what you're saying, Leon? So even idiots like us should be able to solve it.
So basically, we should perhaps have solved it by now.
Well, no, but about 20 minutes ago, probably.
No. All right. He was discovered at 7 p.m.
7.
Still warm.
So yeah, maybe this refers to something happening at 10 p.m., so maybe there was a deal going down that night which the person who killed him didn't want to go ahead.
Well, it would be related.
Maybe he was going to meet the Spaniard. And what was the day he was killed?
The 9th.
It was Betty's mother's birthday on the 8th.
Mm-hmm.
He went to Bishop's F at 8:30 p.m. And then on the Friday, he was at the plant at 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. Surprise! And then he was meant to meet Captain Egan at 8:30 p.m. that evening.
And Captain Egan is the one he purchases for the Admiralty.
Yes.
So you could argue he was on his way to meet Captain Egan when the dastardly deed occurred.
We're not arguing. We're solving. There's quite a few lines of inquiry.
But where to go?
There's either maybe the restaurant or the wife.
Well, I think the fact that we've got...
Or AM.
I don't know. I think the fact that we've got the cigarette, there's the scented letter, ammunition's fair... And we've got Hector Guerrero, the Spaniard, who also is found on a note relating to Special Project 10.
Well, the Spaniard may or may not be him, but I am.
I would like to follow the path of the affair/dignitaries.
Now, I should have pointed this out earlier, but I didn't think about it. There's technically supposed to be a lead investigator, which is the person who makes the final call of where you're going.
Okay.
So if the first one you kind of both agreed on, if you could at least agree on one more, then we could say maybe next time it'll be Garth and Mark, then Garth. Depending on how many clues you follow up, but it can... Yeah.
So, are you thinking the wife might know anything?
The wife? I don't know. I think the wife, at best, is going to feel aggrieved.
Mm-hmm.
But I reckon we should go somewhere else.
She'd have a
lot
to gain, but yeah.
Yeah.
What if we go and speak to Alexei Meshkov?
Although, who is AM?
Yes. But is it AH? It looks like
no, it's AM.
It's like a Victorian AM.
So he was seeing both the Spaniard. That was a note.
It just says Spaniard tonight 10 p.m.
So that involves all three of them.
It could have, yes.
Which again leads me.
But the Spaniard could be a code name for the gun. Like the gun could be called the Spaniard. I mean, who knows? Like it's open to interpretation, whereas AM clearly is someone's initials.
Correct. And the only AM we know is Alexei.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, it's an arms fair.
Yeah, let's do that.
Where are you going?
So, he's a Russian military attaché. So I'm just wondering if he's at the embassy. I'm seeing if his name is in here. Meshkov, Alexei. So...
Would that be his home?
Not sure.
If it's only his name, it'll be his home.
Okay, so do we
go... Are you thinking of going there or think you're going to...
Well, if it's a backroom deal, he's probably not going to tell us about it at the embassy.
No.
Whereas we might... There is also the Russian embassy. There's also the Russian social club.
But you've also... I really should shut up. But yeah. You've also got to remember that it's during the day we're doing this. So is where's it, he most likely
is
to
it
be?
Always? Or he's bound to be
at... It's pretty much... Well, at the moment, we're...
Probably going to be at the embassy, isn't he?
Yeah, you've got to figure out where you think he might be.
Well, I think we should go to the Russian embassy and maybe invite him for a drink. What do you think?
I don't think the game is that involved, but sure.
Well, let's... Russian embassy?
Where is the location of the Russian embassy?
54SW. Which is there. It's marked Russian Embassy.
Oh, really? So this is location number 2.
Street. Number 2, Russian Embassy.
And where is it? That's in SW?
54SW.
Corner of Lowndes Street and Belgrave Square.
All right.
Just off Belgrave Square.
No, that's a good sign. It's there.
It is in the book. Bingo.
At the Russian Embassy, we are escorted into the office of Alexei Meshkov, military attaché. His massiveness is not obscured by his desk. He is friendly, chatty almost. My government is very interested in the new naval gun being developed by Grant. That I cannot deny. We have done business with Mr. Allen's company in the past and have always been satisfied.
The Tsar may...
It's great.
May God preserve him, has been very large borders to defend, as well as large fleets to arm. But we are a patient people. I spoke to the Balkans as an illustration of that fact. Oh, sorry, I point to the Balkans as an illustration of that.
Yeah, we all know how that goes well.
Yeah, exactly.
We shall wait
it's a powder keg.
Until the British government designed to allow Grant's arms to sell us this new gun. As Meshkov finished speaking, there is an unexpected clatter behind the desk. Ah, thank you, young man, he says to Wiggins, who retrieves his cane, which had slipped down from the edge of the desk on its own volition. Meshkov pats his thigh and explains... In a fear of honour some years ago, although not too many years ago, he laughs. Meow, 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 meow. As my adversary fell forward, shot dead through his heart, his pistol went off. Accidentally, much as the cane just slipped off the desk. Unfortunately, the ball found my leg. Sir, would you mind telling us where you were on the evening of March the 9th? Meshkov tilts back his head and laughs heartily. Meow, 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 meow. Of course not, my friends. I attended a performance at the Covent Garden Theatre and was there all evening. Since we have nothing more to ask, we thank him and take our
leave. Ouch! You got nothing. Niet.
Well, no, here's the thing. We know he's a good shot because he killed his opponent in the duel.
Clearly, yeah, close
without line. The other guy getting a shot off, really.
Mm. Well, and he's very interested in the
well, it's interesting that his other person fell forward when he shot him. You think he'd fall back.
Yeah.
But he was shot with a big gun as well. This is a big man.
He was very big.
I am a big man, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
I can't even do that laugh.
It is not even a hearty laugh, but I did it anyway.
So, the question before we change our line of inquiry, do we do what all good police do and check out his alibi by going to the Covent Garden Theatre? Because clearly... He would have stood out, and
as a
no doubt someone would notice
a big Russian,
a great big Russian, living in the middle of the performance.
I'm not convinced.
You're not convinced.
I'm not convinced.
The convincing is not.
You have many leads to follow. I am an innocent man.
Yes. The other line of inquiry is the affair, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I still can't help thinking that at some stage we're going to need to go to that.
Keynes.
Yeah. I'm Keynes as mustard to go and check out Keynes.
I would rather do that.
Than chase down the alibi.
Yeah. So who's the lead investigator? We just didn't decide. Garth, you were going to be at this turn, then Mark would be next turn.
Okay.
And then we'll take turns from there.
So Garth, where would you like to go? Out of anywhere we can go, where would you like to go?
Anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
We're in London. I want to go to Harrods. And buy a toy.
Okay.
Hello, Disney, via the channel.
No. We'll go to Keynes.
Where's Keynes?
Keynes is... Keynes Chop House, 37WC.
37?
Water closet.
WC. Step into the restaurant. Its delicious smell of grilled meats tickles our nostrils. Admittedly, we're arriving in the middle of the service, and half a dozen waiters twirl between the tables to bring the customers their meal. Apparently under the orders of a man in a black suit. After a small wait, the latter man comes to us. Good day, sir, and welcome to Keynes. Did you have a reservation? No, I'm sincerely sorry, but we're full at the moment. The sound of breaking dishes then is heard behind him. We don't have the time to ask him questions before he goes to manage the incident. We seize the chance to take a quick and discreet look in his reservations book, resting on the pulpit at the entrance of the room. And we notice that Richard Allen has indeed reserved a table for two on March the 8th. We discreetly leave the head waiter.
Yeah.
He's beside himself with excuses to a couple of which the woman has apparently wound it up with a fish on her dress instead of on her plate.
Right, so we know he had dinner for two.
Which you already knew.
Mm.
But you now know that, well, he had the reservation.
Yeah.
He said they went there. So that's about all you got.
What I was indicating was the location of the Covent Garden Theatre.
1, 2, 3.
Just that it's not exactly close
no.
to that. But, I mean, it's probably like a, 10-15 minute cab ride
mm-hmm.
from there to there. Mm-hmm. So obviously we would need to work out whether he actually left at some stage.
The Russian guy?
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm not convinced that's the path worth going down.
He's shot someone before. He's got prior form.
Yeah, that's true.
We don't have any clues about... I think with that note. Is this, can we look in here?
Nope.
No, not without.
Hang on.
Can we look at the note again?
Yes, it's right near the start.
Except here he's got Bishop's F, 8:30 p.m. What time was his reservation?
8:30. Did it say? No, 5:30.
Okay, so that's later on. Bishop's Finger Inn.
I bet they do. That's how you get the cardinal.
That's what they mean by cardinal rules.
No, that's what cardinal sin.
Yeah. Just the cardinal's ring.
Uh-huh.
No, but it's got the bishop's finger in it.
Hey-o.
So, after he went to dinner, he went to the bishop's finger in.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go there. Then, surprise!
Anyway.
Maybe he was there with his lady friend? I don't know.
We still haven't gone to 12 Devil Street and chased up Philip Marlowe.
I was going to say, I should point out there's about 3 or 4 big possibilities.
Yeah.
That you're not...
Yeah, yeah. We need to check out the stockbroker brother.
Mm-hmm.
That's one.
There's the brother. There's
Philip Marlowe.
So the three that I can see,
and then there's Captain Egan, and then there's the wife. So there's four. Yeah.
My vote would be going to Philip Marlowe.
Does he work at the factory?
He's the one who took over the factory.
Yeah, but we went to the factory and he wasn't there. I mean, we've got his address here. Maybe.
But no, he's at the 12 Derville Street.
Is he?
Address where they keep the blueprints and the data.
Oh no, the plant is at 12 Derville Street.
Yeah.
Which is where... Wasn't that where the murder scene was?
Well, that was
no, the, that was that at the was office. Wolf. Wasn't it?
No, but that was also the factory. I mean, it could be there because not all the streets are named there. There's nothing about that.
You've also got the cigarette butt.
Well, that's...
Which is evidence.
Mm.
It didn't mention anything about the Russian smoking at his office.
That's true. My watching of old-timey movies...
Yeah.
It's mostly women.
The butler.
The butler. Mostly women have the...
And foreigners...
Because they don't want to get their fingers
dirty. You're right. A big, woofy Russian probably would not...
He'd be smoking.
...use a cigarette holder. Yeah. Women or effeminate foreigners. Spanishmen, maybe. We all know they're effeminate. Except for any of you Spanish listening.
Mark doesn't speak on behalf of us.
Well...
You're the lead investigator, Mark.
Where am I? So, there's Bishop's Finger in. There's his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Whether she's with the bishop or not, we don't know.
Yep.
And the whereabouts of the finger, we're not sure of. Philip Marlowe's house, potentially, because we can't find the other place.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the stockbroker brother.
Yep. There's also Captain Egan, and there's Lord Raglan.
And the wife.
No, I mentioned the wife.
Yeah. She had a finger.
Lord Raglan, you already spoke to at the factory. Oh, no, that was...
What did you speak to? That was the secretary.
Billy Lionheart.
Yeah, so you haven't spoke to the factory runner or the new president.
Well, the wife had... Well, potentially the wife had the most to gain because she got his money. Probably the most obvious. We would have to talk to her at some stage for sure.
Why don't we do that?
Do that. So, was it Richard Allen or Courtney Allen who was
killed? Courtney Allen.
They want to go to Courtney Allen's house.
Well, we need to find Beatrice.
Courtney Allen, 14 NW. Ooh, which is also the Bagatelle Card Club. No... That can't be right. Hang on. Courtney Allen, 14 NW. Oh, maybe he had a gambling issue.
Ooh.
So we're going to his house?
Yes, 14 NW.
It is in the book.
Yeah.
Lots of writing.
All right. This is a good one, Mark.
Our interview with Miss Allen is mercifully short. She answers our indelicate questions with a quiet, calm dignity that convinces us she knows nothing of her husband's murder or whereabouts that would be of any help to us.
Right.
Should I write anything down? Please write, stupid, ma. Underline, exclamation.
Find smarty blart fast.
Right. All right.
Where are you going?
I think you should follow this lead. I feel obligated to put myself close to the bishop's finger. Right.
I think that sounds like an excellent choice.
What does the bishop finger have to do with anything again, by
the way? It's in the diary that after he went to dinner...
Right.
He went... And well, the interesting thing is the dinner isn't in the diary, but the bishop's finger in is in the diary. Maybe the bishop's finger in isn't a reference...
No. We're going to Philip Marlowe.
Maybe
the bishop put his finger in at the dinner.
We're going to try and find Philip Marlowe.
Philip Marlowe, you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because he's the one who's taken over.
Yeah.
They weren't friends.
There was no love lost between them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he is now the president of a multinational company.
Philip Marlowe's house?
Yep.
32 NW.
So listen to this kind of evidence collection.
We make our way past the stacked luggage in the hallway to find Philip Marlowe in the centre of the parlour swinging a golf club. A mashy niblick by the look of it.
Okay.
I know it's a golf thing, but it's still a funny thing to say. He is a brisk man in his mid-40s. He informs us that he is on his way to the country estate of Sir Clayton Partridge, brother of Alan Partridge.
Hey!
And so brevity on our part would be appreciated.
Oh, of course.
We ask him about his ascendancy to the presidency of the company. Alan and I have an understanding on that score. Upon his retirement, I would take the office. In fact, it was the key reason I joined the company 3 years ago. Mr. Alan was close to retirement then. Not by any means. Look, I cannot deny that I have mixed feelings about Alan's untimely death. It was a tragedy, and I feel outraged, as any decent right-thinking man would. But we were not personally close, and I do relish the chance to run the company. Where were you on the evening of the 9th? I played golf with Sir Clayton in the afternoon and went home with him to dine. Stayed till about midnight. The butler enters the room with...
With a knife.
With a...
Ha-ha! You got me, you dirty coppers!
With a valise?
Yeah, it's a suitcase. Valise. Yeah.
Valise? Ah, valise, yes. I know that. A valise in one hand and a shotgun in the other.
Oh!
Ready, Swinson? Well, we're off.
Shotgun.
Where's he off to?
That's one of the things that we need to wait for the...
forensics.
Report from ballistics. That's right.
What for gun killed him? You can go to the coroner.
Can we?
Oh, you've got to lift all those places, haven't
I? Told you when we first started. You've got Scotland Yard. You can go
the
to
the Allies.
Coroner, criminology. You've got CD bars. You've got Holmes himself. You can go see Sherlock Holmes himself to listen to him to say, "Where, dear lads? This is the first case. Why are you coming to see me already?"
Yes, right.
You should stop playing this game now. Perhaps go back to Connect Four.
Annika's favourite game is Snakes and Ladders. We could do that.
Meeting point of London cab drivers.
The cabs haven't been mentioned yet.
How do you think they got from wherever they were to the murder scene? Clearly in a cab. But actually, that is a very good point.
What is?
You can't the point that. I'm making with my finger.
Oh, okay.
You go the coroner. Ballistics. What sort of gun was he killed with?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that clue was... That was Garth as the lead investigator. So now it's back around to you, Mark.
No. Okay.
Really?
Well, we know he was killed with a gun.
Yes.
And if we'd gone there... Because there's not...
It was lying on his back.
He was thrown back by the shot, so it was clearly a big gun.
He went backwards, yeah, exactly.
Clearly a big gun. Mm. It would have been a shotgun.
Or the naval gun that he was trying to sell to the Russians. That would have put you backwards.
Yeah, with a hole like this in your chest. I'm sure they would have mentioned, I could see right through him.
Yeah.
I didn't realise
that. We Canadians are known for our ferocity.
Hey.
Well, the other thing is, the criminologist could also analyse the cigarette and tell us about, like, a bit of cut. No, it's not going to have lipstick because it was in a holder.
Well, we'd be able to see lipstick as well. And DNA evidence hasn't been
discovered. No, I know that, but he would be good at his job.
Well, I reckon we're still shy on... We haven't followed up Richard Allen at all yet.
No, we don't have the bishop's finger in. Did it say where he worked?
Who?
Well, there's only one... Is there only one stock exchange?
Now, as I said, since I've played this case, I can't remember the exact turnout, but I would like to point out that his brother came to Sherlock Holmes to find out who killed my brother.
Exactly.
Just thought that that's worth mentioning.
Yeah. Yep. And he was in his 40s and was expensively dressed.
But he could... But he was the stockbroker.
Mm-hmm.
So he could have done that.
Other than say...
Throw the scent off him.
Would you go to Sherlock Holmes?
Wow.
There is...
Where's Mark fainted? And all his brother could have possibly gained from this would have been if he knew the stock would go down. So
yeah.
So some money, but still.
So.
He was well off already.
I've just noticed by skimming the telephone book, there's always a good thing to do in these times.
Mm-hmm.
There is an inn called. Dun, 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 dun,
how was that
the spelled? Spaniards Inn.
Really?
So the Spaniard.
Where's that note?
Yeah.
Spaniard. It says Spaniard, not Spaniards.
It's a bit of a long shot.
Yeah, it is.
I think we should rather go with something we know. Someone we know who is involved somehow.
So we haven't been able to run down any. We don't have any other leads about the woman apart from potentially the cigarette.
Going to a cigarette
Benson
factory.
Benson and Hedges.
Going to a cigarette factory with one cigarette. I don't know. Seems
so
a bit of a long
shot. You've got your
me.
Bit of evidence lead. You've also.
But they tell you. Like, it's the physical evidence. Follow the physical.
You're lead investigator, right?
Also haven't spoke to the.
All good crime shows, the physical. Like, the one and only bit of evidence we have about the murder is the cigarette.
No. What about the dead body?
That's a big one.
Okay. Yeah, we got that as well. So.
Not as big as
well,
as
I'm
as
thinking.
A whole one.
Here's the question. Will we get more information about the cigarette from going to Benson and Hedges? Or from going to the criminologist? What do you think, Garth?
I don't know if the criminologist can add to it, because what are they going
to do? He analyses all items and substances.
It's a cigarette butt that's pinched at the end.
What do we know? It could be a strange exotic blend, which we then might be able to go to Benson and Hedges and say, who buys these cigarettes?
Or we could go straight there and say, what brand of cigarette is this, please, Benson and Hedges? You made this. I don't know what the criminologist is going to add.
She's here for a reason.
Yes, you can go there every case.
Yes. Okay. So you've got your cigarette evidence. You've also got the factory guy that was passed over for promotion. You've also got Captain Egan, which there is no mention of except a note, and no one seems to know who he is.
No, he's the representative. He's the purchasing representative
for the Admiralty.
Oh, so he's the night guy who knows about this secret multi-million-dollar project.
Exactly right.
But not necessarily, because if they were selling it to someone else behind his back.
Yeah.
He, well...
would have some sort of motive for murder,
yeah.
Perhaps.
Wow. Is Oren on here? I could probably text Oren.
He knows things.
Okay. Given that... It's my pick, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Given that the cigarette is the single piece of evidence linking the murderer to the murderee...
victim.
We have to chase it down.
Uh-huh.
I want to go to Benson and Hedges.
Okay, let's go to Benson and Hedges. Lead 6,
Hang
Benson
on.
And Hedges.
16NW.
It's a factory that makes cigarettes.
Ooh.
Okay. They confirmed. Yes, we
make
cigarettes.
We made that cigarette. We believe that cigarette was manufactured here. Yes, it was. Thank you.
All right.
Did you make this cigarette?
There is some writing.
Oh!
And then there is a note.
Oh.
A bit of visual stimuli.
There you go.
A salesman identifies the cigarette end as that of a Benson's and Hedges Imperial. It is quite an expensive blend of Turkish and Virginian tobacco.
What did I say?
Very strong. Very strong, yet very smooth. It's not a cigarette for the casual smoker, but rather for a connoisseur. Imperials are made to order, are they not? Oh, but of course, the Imperial is a relatively new brand, and the client list is very small and elusive. Exclusive, sorry. Exclusive. May we see that list? The salesman reaches under the counter and pulls out a small ledger.
What's an under the counter list?
The list has 12 names on it.
Ba-ba-ba-bum! Do you recognise any of them?
No.
Henry Higgins, Sir Clayton Partridge.
Yes, we know him.
He was the other guy I was playing golf with.
Yes.
Yep.
Lord Henry Ragland, he's also a familiar name. Gregory Cardiff.
Ragland was the guy that was
playing. Tesla. Richard Mainhart, Emil Zobar, Montgomery Eustace, Count von Schulenberg, a count.
Oh, and he was in the newspaper.
Hang on. Rudolph Noble, Gilbert Welsh, Richard Catnip. Casnip.
Richard Catnip.
So Count von Schulenberg.
He was in the newspaper, I think.
And the other one is
Partridge.
Ragland and Partridge. They sound like a comedy duo. who am I looking for?
I like how you got so excited about the count when one of the probably lead suspects is on near the top of the list.
But the count, you get to go. How many cigarettes do you smoke a day?
Yeah.
One cigarette. Two cigarettes. Three cigarettes.
And 4 years to live.
Hey.
Spat on my book, man.
Sorry.
I don't know. One of you
Who was looking for? Count de Schulenberg.
So Schulenberg.
And then...
Here. Count von Schulenberg was at the...
Oh, the shooting competition.
Shooting competition. as was Sir Clayton Partridge, as was Philip Marlowe, as was Emil Zobar. Clearly there's a connection between smoking and shooting.
And elite athleticism.
But anyway, look. Here's Schulenburg.
Yeah.
Here's Partridge. They are both excellent shots.
Mm. I think it was on the other side.
I just took a quick trip over to Paris.
Yeah.
He accepted a medal for excellence on behalf of the Krupp Works.
Okay. Oh, that was Countess.
The Countess.
Yeah.
Bom, bom, bom. She's newly married.
For a title,
an archetype perhaps. Of the fair-haired Raiden.
And we know that the person was fair-haired.
Do we?
Yeah.
How do we know that?
Because it was one of the clues. Was it?
Bingo. Alrighty.
I made a note to not make a note about
did
that.
You? Right? Clearly, we need to speak to the Countess von Schulenburg. Because, of course, he buys her cigarettes for her. Because she wouldn't be seen in a figure.
Wasn't it Count von Schulenburg?
Was no, but the Countess is the...
The Count buys this one. Okay.
So,
and then Raglan
he's the...
And Clayton.
The Krupp Works.
So we've got three people buy cigarettes.
Let me see.
That you're aware of at the moment.
Von Schulenburg. I think there's three or four different things pointing to her. And clearly, he's a good shot. And he works for an arms company, which means he'd have access to big guns.
Exactly. Just out of interest, how does this end?
We decide.
You guys say to me,
I think we know it.
So-and-so.
Let's go and find out.
Okay. And I read you what the question is.
So there's no...
They say...
Von Schulenburg.
So since you guys don't know what the questions are, you have to guess kind of what the questions are going to be.
Schulenburg. Count von Schulenburg. 51 SW.
That's where we're going.
Whose turn is it?
Mine.
Okay. 51 SW. Here in Cadogan Street.
Oh, shifty Cadogan Street.
Yes. Well done, Garth.
51 SW.
Yeah.
We are greeted at the door by Count von. What did we decide on?
Schulenburg.
Schulenburg.
Mm hmm.
Schulenburg's residence by a man whose glare is unfriendly and forbidding.
Yeah, what do you want?
His walrus moustache and stiff bearing reminds us more of a sergeant in the Prussian Guard than a butler. Before the man can shut the door in our faces, as he shows every sign of doing, Wiggins spews forth a stream of guttural sounds in a language that must bear some resemblance to German, for the butler steps back, clicks his heels, and admits us.
What wants to aus der Siemens March? Yeah.
Kann ich deine Busen reiben? I'm minute and bitter. Let's get on with this. Wiggins, for his part, cannot resist a mischievous wink in our direction. Count von
Schulenburg
sits waiting for us behind his desk in the study.
Oh, with a candlestick?
Physically, he is a bit of a surprise to us. Short and rotund. He looks slightly absurd in his tight-fitting uniform, more like an overdressed tram conductor than a military man. We suspect...
It was a small man envy.
On the evidence of a half-filled glass of a clear liquid on his desk, that his fluid consumption is due as much to his penchant for tippling as to the tightness of his collar. I might be scum, but I'm proper scum. if his stature and shape...
Which is short and round.
If his stature and shape, his rosy cheeks, grey hair and whiskers, his bushy side whiskers loop down to his chin... And,
clearly she didn't marry him for his looks.
And back up to the connection with the moustache. Facial hair's in these days, apparently. It's a good substitute for a personality, so I'll tell you. Put us in mind of old Saint Nick... His manner conjures up a very different image. He is very cold, devoid of any emotion, save possibly anger. He notices Wiggins' attention to a magnificent gun collection, finds one wall and asks him in a flat tone of voice, suggesting disinterest in an answer. This is all overshot. If he was liking for guns. That's what it says.
Yep.
Wiggins barely begins a reply before the Count cuts him off. Now, gentlemen, what is your business?
We explain our mission and ask if we may put some questions to him. We take his stony silence as consent to do so. Were you aware that the Grant Arms Company was developing a new weapon for the British government? I knew of such a weapon, of course, but no details concerning it. But since no company can compete with our corrupt works, I was not very interested. Do you remember where you were on the evening of March the 9th? He raised an eyebrow with the implication of the question. While he is deciding whether to answer or not, he lights a cigarette.
Ooh!
Can't help but notice the B&H on the cigarette. Finally, he speaks. I recall quite well. I went to the home of Hector Del Guerra, military attaché to the Spanish government. Just then, there is a knock on the study door. Here. Oh, Alfred, says a very beautiful young lady.
Ooh, hello.
She sweeps into the room and stops short. I'm sorry, Alfred. I was unaware that you had company. With a great deal more animation than we had seen beforehand, the Count rises, goes to her, and with an elaborate ceremony, introduces the young blonde woman as his wife. Together, they make most gracious pair. 30 years and 3 inches, the height advantage. Going to the lady separates them. The introduction at an end, the Count, there is no other word for it, dismisses her. Turning back to us, he says, if that's all, gentlemen, it is not a question. And that's it.
Okay. So he's got a hot wife.
There's a heap of...
You already knew that.
He's a heap of motive there.
Loves his guns.
Got lots of guns.
Got lots of guns.
Portly guy, so you can...
I keep thinking it's going to be like Arabian Nights, like... If you ask him this, turn to this page. If you ask him this, then go to that, turn that page. You know?
It's
we don't get option to ask questions.
No. So
that is a very strong lead.
I know. That's why I went there.
Well done, Garth.
Thank you.
So...
But lead to what?
Yeah. Well...
Where?
The motive could have been jealousy, or it could have been... He could have got his wife to, like, lure...
Tempt him with the letter and
the
whatnot.
Guy there and then killed him because he didn't want the British to have this fancy gun.
Correct. Perhaps.
He also said he went to the house of the Spaniard.
He did, on the night of the murder.
The note refers to the Spaniard. We've spoken to A.M., who didn't mention the Spaniard. I'm thinking we've got to speak to the Spaniard. What was his name? Hector Leguero?
Hector Leguero. Del Guerra.
Now, what was his title?
See how offensive I can make this accent.
Hector Del Guerra.
I read it as Manuel from Faulty Towers.
Sí. He's from Barcelona.
No, mucho burro Ali. burro is a io.
Well, if we found the Count at his house, I'm presuming we'll find Hector Del Guerra at his house, which would be 36 WC. What do you think?
He was...
Basing my Spanish accent on somebody that's not even Spanish.
He was a military attaché to the Spanish embassy. So do you think we should go to the Spanish embassy or his house?
Well, this is the joy of you being lead investigator.
We did go to the Russian embassy to find the Russian guy.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, well, would make sense if we knew what time it was. Spanish embassy, 38 SW.
Is that where we're going?
It's even marked on the map. Yes, 38 SW, Spanish Embassy. What number are we up to? Holmes is going to solve it in about 3.
Mm-hmm. At the Spanish Embassy, we are told Senor Del Guerra is at his home.
Ah. Well, that's an easy choice for you, Garth.
We're going to 36 Water Closet.
36 Water Closet. Is that where it was? It is 36 Water Closet.
Seriously?
Yes, 36 WC.
No, yeah.
I'd looked it up, remember? There. Oh, on the high street.
Look at that, right near...
Nothing.
No, Keynes.
Oh, that's 37. A very convenient location for a secret meeting.
For a keen investigator to notice. Anywho, so 36 WC.
Yep.
An interview with Hector Guerra at his home is suddenly interrupted by the entrance of 3 small children into the parlour. Hose A, Hose B, and Hose C. They fairly fly into the room with a swoop upon their father, covering him with hugs and kisses. Close upon their heels, their governess is The governess issues a string of Spanish commands, which once again restores order.
Vamos!
Yeah.
Muchachos!
Yes, there you go. After formal introductions are made with awkward courtesies by the little ones, or curtsies, sorry, the governess hustles them away and Senior Del Guerra is able to continue. It was a formal dinner party, you see. March the 9th is our wedding anniversary. There were 30 or so guests and they began arriving a little after 7 o'clock. As I recall, Count von Schmolber and his wife were the last to arrive at about 8:30.
Bingo, plenty of time for the murder. That's no alibi at all, that alibi.
Yeah.
Well, I think we know who did it. The question is why, because that's going to be one of the questions. Do we think he did it? Because we've got no evidence.
This is Sherlock Holmes, that's fine.
We've got no evidence of the affair.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, we've already been to the restaurant, haven't we? And they didn't tell us. We saw he had a reservation.
Yep.
What about...
It
all comes back to the bishop's finger. Because I think... We know who did it.
Do you?
I think it was Schulenburg.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, did he do it out of jealousy or did he do it as a professional hit from an industrial espionage point of view? Because he did steal the plans, remember? He stole the plans to the Spanish gun, which the Germans would be very interested in. So without any evidence of the affair, I'm thinking that the industrial angle is looking pretty strong here.
And we do also, I think we know that he can shoot as well, don't we?
Do you reckon we could go to Langdale
Pike? Schulenburg is a good shot as well, so...
What about if we went to Langdale Pike, who's a society columnist, knows all the gossip currently stirring. See if he's got any dirt on the Countess.
Or, hang on, where was the dinner at the place we just went?
At his house.
Which was...
36
Water Closet.
Yeah.
Here's the murder scene.
Correct.
What about the cabs? Because he would have most likely got a cab straight from the murder scene to the party.
When was the gun show? The shooting thing?
The last day of the competition. Conditions of the meeting far more pleasant than they had been earlier in the week. So it's obviously at the end of the week. It doesn't mention the date. This is on the 12th, so it's sometime in the week beforehand.
You mean they're not doing an article of the future? Okay.
Well, I just think that the cabbies are going to give us more information than the gossip columnist. Whose pick is it?
Oh, I can't remember.
That's it's fine.
It is yours because you wanted to go to the embassy.
Okay.
And I said we'll go to Guerra House and get evidence.
Right.
And you...
I did go to the embassy.
Mm.
The central carriage stables, 5 Water Closet. I don't like the fact that you can't ask the questions, though. How do they know what angle I'm pursuing?
There is not a single cabbie at the central carriage stables.
Oh, shit.
Can remember picking up a fare between... Sorry, there is... Not a single one of them can remember picking up a fare between 6 and 7 p.m. on March the 9th around Leonard Street, City Road, or Old Street.
Mm.
I guess, says Wiggins, that the culprit fled on foot.
Well,
stupid. He did.
No, well, here's...
Think of some of the people you've questioned. And
hang on.
Be able
game
to
travel...
On foot.
Well, it says game travel timescale. Is that by a cab or by a foot? Because that's 15 minutes walking. 15.
Is that by minutes or kilometres? Or
it says minutes. Okay. Game travel timescale. But I don't know whether that's by a cab or by walking.
My assumption would be walking back in those days.
That's 15,
well, that, it couldn't
30.
Be by, it couldn't be by cab because that is like 3 blocks in the olden
30,
days.
30, 45... It's an hour's walk.
But the cabbie said they didn't get a cab. None of them remember getting a cab around the murder scene. Doesn't mean that they didn't get a few
that's right.
Somewhere.
But you've also got to remember, we're dealing with high society. They could have their private drivers.
They could, yes, you're right. Although he's a visiting German.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure Angela Merkel doesn't take a yellow cab when she's
right. No, but they have fancy limo cabs as well.
I don't think the colour yellow was invented, Matthew.
Your choice... No. I still feel like the industrial espionage
is the way to go.
Is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
The question is there actually anything more to learn? Or do we think...
Well, the fact that we still have yet to actually have any evidence could be an issue.
It's all
it is all deduction.
It's all circumstantial, yes.
I just feel like that it's pretty obvious now who did it. And the whole gun angle, like the fact that the plans were stolen, if it was for revenge or like jealousy, they wouldn't have stolen the plans for the gun. And I think it's highly likely that he used his wife as a lure.
The only person I'd like to talk to would be Clayton Partridge.
And he is...
Well, he's friends with Philip Marlowe.
Yeah.
He's also in the gun. He's also a good shot.
Mm-hmm.
He also smokes Benson and Hedges. So he's connected in at least three separate
ways. Okay. Yep.
So we'll go to Clayton Partridge's house.
The only other thing...
We're going to go to Clayton Partridge's
house. Okay. I'm thinking is whether the coroner can give us some information about the gun.
That's good. Can you find Clayton Partridge's
house? Sure. He's just gone off to the country to play golf, hasn't he?
No, that was Marlowe. Marlowe?
Yeah, no, he was
no, Marlowe's off to play golf with Partridge.
Yeah.
His address might not even be in there because he might be too far out of
Jolly Partridge. Old. Sir Clayton Partridge. 60 SW.
Oh, we're going to be so stupid.
So we're going to Sir Clayton Partridge?
Mm-hmm.
Sir Clayton Partridge is a vigorous man in his late 50s. When we arrive at his home...
He is
directing three servants... in the packing of his carriage.
Of course he is.
No muffins. Put the... No. Maybe they're called muffins.
No muffins.
No muffins.
Oh, muffins is the noodle.
I need to get rich just so I can have a servant called muffins. Put the fly rods on top, but only after everything is loaded. Oh, cleaver, that cord will never do. Stouter stuff, man. Stouter stuff is needed. Where is my shot bag? Brimmer? Who are all these people... You know I hate to carry shotgun shells in my pocket. Our interruption is not appreciated, but in the main, Sir Clayton is cooperative. He tells us that he is indeed a smoker of Benson and Hedges Imperial. Further, he is acquainted with the Grant's Arm Company. Philip Marlowe is an old friend and a golfing partner. Played with him on the very day of Alan's murder. When did you finish your round? Late afternoon. Invited Marlowe home to dine. We were at it well until the evening. Brandy afterwards, you know. Must have been midnight before we parted company.
There you go. So he's given himself and Marlowe an alibi.
Yep. All right. Do you want to go straight and...
Well, the only thing I'm thinking is the coroner... Like, this German guy is an arms manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
The coroner may be able to tell us that... Like the bullet was from a German gun or something like that. That would be the only extra thing that potentially would give us...
I'm happy to call it, but it's your decision.
So are we in agreement that it's the German guy and that's the industrial espionage angle?
Is he German?
Yeah, von Schulenburg.
Yeah, it sounds German, doesn't it?
Yes. He's from the Krupp Armaments Company.
Krupp.
And his account and the whole thing about the note being from someone who had a title...
My only concern is there's two people, Captain Egan and Lord Raglan, that we haven't...
Captain Egan had... Well, Captain Egan would have been the last one who wanted that the plans for that gun to fall into enemy hands.
Correct. Lord Raglan is... he's stupid.
And he's the one who missed out.
Mm.
So, but it sounds like he knew, he would have known, that the other guy was going to take over the company, so it doesn't really help him.
All right. And then he gets a snifter of wine.
Something is making me think that Holmes would have done it in about five. Shall we? Sure. Like I feel bad we haven't got CSI in.
Well, it's your turn. You can go there if you want.
Okay, I'm just for the experience. I'm going to talk to CSI.
One less point of victory.
CSI London.
So where are we going? Head coroner?
No.
Criminologist.
Hang on. Yes, Sir Jasper Meeks.
38 EC.
Yeah. He's dead.
Yes.
It might have been a bullet.
I reckon it was a gun. What did it?
It might have been a bullet. Who knows?
A big bullet hole in his chest.
You know, the clue to Holmes. Eight goes ago.
Holmes said you'd be here in about 12 minutes.
You know what day and age we're in. We don't even know what bullets are.
Yeah.
Where are we going?
1838.
Echo Charlie. And this is 12.
Oh, I just saw something and went, have we gone there? No, we haven't. Interesting. 38 EC.
So Jasper Meeks explains that Alan was shot in the chest at close range from a distance of 2 feet, no more. There was extensive powder burns on his overcoat. Do you have the bullet? No, but it must have been of a large caliber. The exit wound was massive.
Oh, good. So naval gun massive. All right, let's cash this check, shall we?
Yeah, okay.
Done.
So we are done with our investigation. We are now going to go to the questions.
There's no ballistics expert listed here, is there?
No.
Unless we can go back to the crime scene and look for the bullet that's in the wall that went through him. But we've already been to the crime scene. We didn't find no bullet.
All right, let's fail horribly.
Do you want to get a bit of... You've got your pen ready?
Oh, we don't have to answer them straight away, but I'm just going to read you what the questions are.
If we find out that we don't have the information, do we get to go away and...
Once we go to questions, this is it.
Okay.
You answer them, you either give them or you don't.
Up for some questions.
Okay. There's four questions in part one, which are the main ones.
Okay.
And there's the four questions in part two, which are the more supplementary ones.
Okay.
Okay. One. Question the first.
Who done it?
Who killed Courtney Allen?
That was... Conch von Schulenburg.
As in, he was the actual man that pulled the trigger?
Yes.
You agree?
Yes.
It was a bit of a...
Okay.
Count.
Yeah, it's a count back. So that's locked in, finally.
Locked in.
Delivered. The small, portly old man is the one that fired.
Yes.
Not his.
Not the wife.
German butler that seemed military in essence.
Shut up.
Why was he murdered?
To get the plans for the British naval gun. To steal the plans.
Out of his
briefcase.
Which was found locked at the scene.
But the key was missing, which was attached to the watch fob.
Mm-hmm. What was the significance of the message found in Courtney Allen's notebook?
Which one?
I'm guessing it was the Spaniard one.
I would say that... What's his name? Allen was negotiating with potentially the Russians and or the Spaniards.
I think the fact that he was meeting with the Spaniard.
But the Russians set it up, potentially.
What was the significance of the message found?
I don't know if the Russians and the Spaniards were allies back in those days.
Everyone was intermarried back in those days.
So I think he was having discussions about potentially supplying that gun to other nations, most likely the Spanish, because no one expected that.
Okay. You write that down, Garth?
I've just written supplying weapons to Spain.
Okay.
Fourth question. What was the reason for Richard's camp to visit the French embassy? What was the reason for the Richard's camp visits to the French embassy?
Well, I'm guessing the same thing in negotiations. Like, open to all bidders for the naval gun.
Right. Who was Richards, by the way? Richards camp. Has Richards come up at any point?
No. Unless he's talking about Richard Allen.
Either way.
Richards. Sir Edmund Richards and Lady Hillary Richards. Don't know who they are.
It'd be
Dr. Richards.
It'd have to be Richard Allen.
It could be Viv Richards.
Could be. All right. So they were the four main questions. We now move on to part two.
Okay.
Why was the tip of the cigarette found at the scene of the crime pinched all around evenly?
Because it was used in a thing.
No, not necessarily. Unless when he shot, he went and bit it or something.
Would it be even? Has he got even teeth? Evenly circular teeth.
Oh, maybe it was used as a red herring.
I like how the second the cigarette was mentioned, you're like, oh, cigarette holder. Well, that makes sense. And now an hour and a half later, you're not sure.
Cigarette holder.
Probably giving you points there, but I can't really remember. But I'm assuming.
No. I just was wondering all of a sudden if that was a red herring.
Don't second guess yourself, Mark. It's a question. Expert investigators. The next question. Who was Courtney Allen's paramour at the time of his death?
Countess von Schulenburg.
Okay.
Yep.
What was special about the weapon used to kill Courtney Allen?
It was a fucking big one.
It was a big shotgun.
It was a big one. Is the answer you're giving me? It was a big one.
It was a large caliber weapon. Now, it wouldn't have been a shotgun used from 2 feet away. You wouldn't shoot someone with a shotgun 2 feet away, I don't think. Although it did leave a large exit wound. I'm thinking it was like a great big, like a Dirty Harry gun. Which the Germans, you know, they make big guns.
So...
Well, it was a large caliber. I think that's all we
know. I reckon it was from Germany.
It was a large caliber German. It was a large caliber weapon. Potentially German.
I didn't need a bit more specific. So you're saying large caliber. That's not special. I don't think it says what's special about the weapon.
Have you ever had a large caliber weapon pointed at you?
If I did, I probably wouldn't say it was special. Unless I noticed something special about it.
Should we say it was pink?
There's no...
Well, you said German or something like that.
Yeah, I reckon it's German.
Well, I reckon it's made by Krupps.
I'm going to say it's German.
All right, final question. How could Wiggins easily make £10?
What's on the ticket?
Oh, solar hat.
Drop the hat back.
Clark and Sons hat at Chelsea. One Victorian hat, £10.
Yeah.
Sell a hat.
Sell a hat. That's what you're going with.
Something about
Return
a hat.
Return the hat.
Return the hat.
That we don't know about. Apart from that he's got a receipt for it. Maybe you could sell the receipt.
Return you could sell the receipt.
We didn't
find. Sell the receipt.
Sell the receipt.
For £10. Sell the receipt. You can go and pick up a hat.
Well, I think
he can buy a hat. He can get a hat.
Yeah. Well, they would know the hat. I think he can return the hat. But
so that was returning the hat?
Is don't that what? Know what the, where the hat fitted in. Clearly, we didn't.
Because it went.
That's right.
So your answer is returning a hat.
Something hat. Yeah, hat. One hat, two hat, red hat.
That's from a hattery.
Yeah. Return the hat that he found later on in the investigation after we left him.
All right, we're going to return the hat. Yeah, returning the hat. Solution.
Gathered once again at 221B Baker Street.
Oh, I wrote that down.
Comparing notes and discussing the case, trying to unravel its many threads when Holmes finally speaks. From the outset, it was obvious that the thief of Mr. Allen's wallet was but a decoy for the perpetrator's real intent.
Of course.
In the first place, it is unlikely that a common criminal would have overlooked two valuable rings, and in the second, simple robbery would not explain the absence of the folder marked SP10A in the briefcase. But the briefcase was found locked, protests Watson. As far as we know, Alan locked it, and it remained so until you yourself sprung it open. I might add that I was quite shocked at your adeptness at such larceny. To study the criminal is to acquire knowledge of criminal methods. In any case, the murderer must have opened it, as evidenced by the spread eagle position of the body and the placement of the briefcase. With regards to it, as Alan was shot, his arm described an arch out and away from his body. The briefcase then appears to have been flung some distance, as indicated by the gouge in the leather.
I could see that when they had the red string laid out.
Caused by its scraping along the jagged cobbles. Yet it was found beside the body, and more specifically, waist high. Exactly the right position for the murderer to have retrieved it and brought it to the key on Allen's catch fob. Knowing that the contents of the folder were central to the murder, and that the code stood for Special Project 10,
yes,
a new naval gun for the Admiralty, it was a simple matter to cull two suspects from the customer's list of Benson and Hedges Imperial brand smokers. The cigarette found at the scene was, of course, Benson and Hedges' cigarette. You must mean Count von Schlauberg and Emil Zoberg, the military attaché from Germany and France, ventures Wiggins. No, not at all.
Just Partridge and Bragland.
Remember, all technical data was kept at the Derville Street plant. Folder SP10A, like the others in Allen's briefcase, contain only administrative data that would be of little or no use to a foreign power. It could, however, obtain something that would be damaging to a company employee. Therefore, the significant names on the Benson and Hedges list were those of Lord Ragland and Richard Camp. Captain Egan, quite unintentionally, went a long way towards clearing Camp. A visit to the plant completed the job. They sound familiar? Because it shouldn't.
So clearly there was a plant as well as a office.
Hang on, I'll get to it. His visit to the French embassy was certainly suspicious, asserts Watson. The photographs on his desk explain them perfectly. The church in the background with the unfinished towers in the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. Mr. Camp's lady love is French and lives at the French embassy. Further, I suspect that the lady has some familiar relationship to Emil Zoberg. The Benson and Hedges Imperial, purchased by Mr. Camp, a cigar smoker, were intended as a gift from Monsieur Zoberg. But that process, Monsieur Zoberg. By that process of elimination, then, Lord Raglan is our man. But why? What was the damaging information in the folder? Asked Watson.
We spoke to him, didn't we?
No.
Never went near him. From the cryptic wire sent to Egan and the note concerning Spaniards intercepted by Allen, which, by the way, explains why a note signed AM was in Allen's handwriting. It is clear that Ragland was selling Special Project 10 to a foreign power. Whatever evidence Allen had was in the folder and was about to be taken to Captain Egan. I believe Mr. Allen went to the plant that morning to confront Lord Raglan with that evidence. When he intercepted the note, he saw a chance to catch Raglan, and AM, Alexei Meshkov, military attaché to the Russian embassy, red-handed. He set up the meeting with Egan and was ready to pounce. Raglan, for his part, was either told of Alan's surprise visit, an intercepted note, or else he detected something amiss with the note itself. He probably awaited during the day for the axe to fall, and when it didn't, he realized that Alan was playing a waiting game. He took up station in the alley, knowing that Alan would come that way and shoot him.
That's what's happened.
You were close. Raglan was the not smart person.
Correct. The guy who ran the factory.
But we decided not to.
Didn't have the business. And Captain Egan, you never went near.
No.
So the two people that we avoided. Literally like the two people you didn't go near were the two that were involved in everything.
Wow.
Holmes?
At least this isn't recorded.
Holmes has solved this case by following four leads.
Oh, the bastard.
That blew us away when we first did this, because we followed about 18 or something.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
But did you get it right?
Yes.
Oh. Shut up.
I think we got some right. He first visited the crime scene.
Yes.
And the Grant Society of Armaments.
See, that's where we didn't go.
We thought that this dude would tell us about the gun. Where's the Grand Society of Armaments?
Let Leon tell us.
He then investigated. Oh, it's at 5EC.
No, but what, like, how were we...
5EC, we didn't go to 5EC, the factory. Yeah, we went there.
The Grand Society of Armaments is the factory.
Is it?
Because the crime scene in the factory is one
room. Oh, okay, right.
So he went there, which you also remember there. So remember that. You went to one place Sherlock did go to.
The first one, the crime scene.
He then investigated the cigarette butt by going straight to the Maker, Benson and Hedges.
Okay. Yeah, we did that.
Which you also went to.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He then met Captain Egan at the Admiralty, which you didn't do. And thanks to the name of the street obtained at the Grand Society of Armaments and the map of London... We finally went to the Durwolf Street Manufacturing Plant.
We didn't know where that was.
Durwolf Street Manufacturing Plant.
Is there anything under D?
No, I looked.
Or is there manufacturing?
Because there was nothing under D.
Because the Grand Society of Armaments and the crimes, that's where his office were. But the fact, you would have went to the factory when you would have went to speak to...
Yeah, we spoke to William Lionheart there.
No, you spoke to William Lionheart at the Grand Society of Armaments.
Yeah, the factory. It's called EC5 is the factory.
Clearly, it's not the manufacturing plant. It's the one at the Durville Street.
Yeah.
So but I think you'll find the Grand Society of Armaments is the offices where you spoke to Billy. At Durville Street is where you would have spoken to Raglan.
There's no Durville Street. There's no... Grand Arms Co. was that one there.
Mm-hmm. EC5.
But as I said, and thanks to the name of the streets obtained at the Grant Society of Armaments. Because when we went there, it would have probably said the Durwolf Street Manufacturing Plant is here or here or something. So we could have found it.
But we went to EC5.
We went to EC5 and it didn't mention anything about...
We'll have to...
Because that was the thing, is we couldn't work out anything that tied into Durwolf Street.
EC5.
Yeah.
Or did you read the wrong one?
No. You bastard, you set us up.
No, because EC5 was crime scene.
Yeah.
Mr. Alan was scheduled... So that's another thing why he didn't go after Egan, because Mr. Alan was scheduled to meet with Captain Egan at 8:30, the night that he was murdered. He
never got there. That's right.
He called in Lord Raglan to discuss the matter after several strange people were hanging around the Durville Street plant. Well, for starters, you could have just gone to Durville Street on the map.
We didn't know. Well, that's what I said. Is there a street directory?
Well, you've got a map.
Yeah, but it doesn't... Okay, we have to look at every street name.
Maybe it was...
Did you miss a sentence or something?
I don't think so. I don't think I would have missed it.
Is it in here?
Well, you knew what the company was called, so it would have been...
Yeah, but we went... The company was there.
We went to EC5.
The only reference to the company
was there. The Grand Society of Armaments.
We went to EC5.
Hang on. So right at the start, because he said... Thaddeus Grant. He was able to build a plant at 12 Durville Street for the manufacturing of heavy ordnance.
Yeah.
But I guess it doesn't actually say, unless it is...
Well, it's just called the Company Gun Shop.
Unless it's called,
There's nothing under guns.
Unless it's called the Grant Society of Armaments Factory.
There's the Grant Arms Co., which is 5AC.
Yeah. Nothing else Grant?
No.
And there's nothing under, like, weaponry or manufacturing or anything?
Well, no, I was looking under F for Factory. There's nothing under F for Factory, it's Furriers. And then nothing under M for manufacturing. There's map cells and music halls.
Either way, we'll get to that, though.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, so there... So his Sherlock's score is 100 points.
Yep.
So score. For this case, the leads at 47 NW, Captain Egan's residence.
Yep.
61 EC, William Lionheart's resident.
Yep.
9SW, the German embassy, which we did go to, yes.
The German embassy.
Yes.
I remember that.
Alexei
Mesh. We had a German embassy.
Yes, we did. Speak to von Schulenburg. And they told us he's not there. He's not at home. We did go to the German
embassy. It was embassy. A tiny one, but it was
they basically... Oh, no.
We didn't go to the German Russian embassy.
We went to...
And then we went to the Spanish embassy.
Well, either way, if he didn't, it doesn't matter. No, and then Alexei Meshkov's residence, yes, which is 34SW.
Yeah, we went there.
The Spanish embassy.
Yep.
Yes.
And 59, the French embassy.
Nope. No.
Are free. Don't count them when tallying your points. So we went to Meshkov's residence.
Yep.
And Spanish embassy.
Yep.
So two of the locations we went to... We can pretend.
Oh, so we're not going to lose
points. We're not going to lose. You're not going to lose points.
Okay, for so yeah. Spanish embassy, no. And
so, how many do we end up going through all together in the end?
Not including or including?
Oh, including. What's the grand total?
12.
So basically, you're going
to count 10.
You're going to count 10.
Isn't Deville like D?
How do you spell Deville, Leon?
It is D E V E
Deville
R E L L
D E V
E R E L L. Right, so okay. Yes, continuing with the story. Yep. Who killed Courtney Allen? Lord Raglan, 25 points. So, no.
No.
Why was he murdered? He had discovered that Lord Raglan was about to sell the blueprints to a foreign power. So no. He had discovered that Lord Raglan was about to sell.
Yeah, Lord Raglan. Yeah, okay.
Three, what was the significance of the message found in Courtney? It's where the sale of the SP-10A to Alexei Meshkov was going to take place.
No. You said supplying weapons to Spain.
No. What was the reason for Richard Camp's visit to the French embassy? He was visiting his fiancée, Annette Zoberg. So, okay. No, definitely not.
All right.
Part two.
Yep.
Why was the tip of the cigarette found at the crime scene?
Yeah, it was a cigarette holder.
Because it was smoked through a cigarette holder.
Way!
That's 10 points.
100 points.
10 points.
10 points. We're not going to finish on zero.
What was special about the weapon used to kill Courtney? It was a weapon from the Grant
Society. No, that's six.
No, he said that already.
Oh, no, my bad. Sorry. No, that's
yeah, you said it's like that line from the Grand Arms Factory.
Who was the Courtney?
Deverell Street.
Countess von Schulberg.
I'll be all right.
Brackets, Frieda Rudel.
There we go. 100 points.
Yay.
10 more points.
So we didn't take. So there would have been somewhere where we could have actually, like, maybe spoke to her or found that out. Yep. Probably.
But we didn't need to. We got it right. Just guessed
it will. Yeah. Yeah, so Courtney, it was a weapon from the Grand Society that killed him.
Oh, okay.
So no.
Right.
Who could Weasley. How could Wiggins easily make £10? By returning the earring to the Countess von Schlilberg, see the ad in the newspaper. Oh. It was lost during her meeting with Alan at the Bishop's Finger.
Oh, the Bishop's Finger!
That's what I said.
It all came down to the Bishop's Finger.
I saw the location in there that said, we strolled into the Bishop's Finger. And I thought, we got me in. So there's talk of it for ages and we didn't know that.
£10 reward, lost on March 8th, an earring consisting of a teardrop emerald circled by diamonds. Whoever shall take same to 51 Cadogan Street shall receive the reward.
To tally your score... Add the points obtained by answering the questions.
Before we do that, was SE12 one of the clue spots in there? Because I have no idea what's there.
SE.
But that's Devil's. I finally found Devil's Street on the map.
It's a big one.
And it's
SE12, yes, it's a big one.
Okay. It's not. There's no Devil Street on the list of.
You have to look in one of the offices, I reckon. Like in the.
Well, I googled it.
Yeah, no, but at the very back.
Surely Sherlock didn't use Google Maps.
In there somewhere.
Yeah.
I'll have to go through
it. It wasn't under.
It says in here.
Gunsmith.
No, it's not. Hang on. Let's tally up our score. We might come second.
Tally us what you say. Add the points by answering the questions.
20.
Then count the number of leads you followed.
12.
Don't count the free leads.
10.
Then compare the number of leads you followed to that of Holmes. 4 leads in this case.
So 6 difference.
6 difference. If you followed more leads than Holmes, subtract 5 points from your score for each extra.
Okay.
So minus 10.
No, for each extra. No,
We did it in 4.
No, you did it in 10.
We did it in 2. We got 2 for free. So instead of 12, we did it in 10.
Yep.
So that's 6 times 5 is minus 30 points.
No,
plus the plus 20 is minus 10.
Yeah.
So I told you I'm math good.
Okay.
And add 5 to your score for each lead fewer that you followed than Holmes. I don't know how that's possible.
No.
You'll thus get your final score.
Wow.
Is it possible to get negative scores? Because
I don't think we've gotten a positive score yet so far.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you how my group has gone so far, because I've written it all down.
I still want to know, what is at 12 SE? I haven't even found it in this book yet. Because I often read the phone book, as I said.
Our first case, we scored 55 points.
Wow.
We got 5 out of the 8 questions right. We followed 16 leads.
Okay.
And that has been our best score so far.
Oh, dear. Who would have thought this game should be easy? Well, at least we felt stupid.
So there we go. That was the Munitions Magnate. Probably didn't go as well for the lads as they might have thought, but, you know, was it a factory? Was it an office? Where are we going? It's a whole thing. That's the whole point of being a detective. Sometimes you know and sometimes you don't. So if you've made it this far, thank you very much for listening, and well done if you've sat through some of the quality issues and some of the editing issues I may have found along the way, but hopefully it wasn't too bad at all. So if you did make it this far, especially, could you please let us know on our Facebook page some feedback, how much you liked it, whether you want us to continue with this game, maybe some other games where we could continue and record in the future. Also, if you have a chance, pop on over to iTunes and give us one of those 5-star reviews. It helps us very much in getting the word out there. The more listeners we have, the more cool stuff we get to do. So thank you very much, and I hope that was really good and fun for you.